Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, I've really been blessed by my teaching this week. It reminds me of what God has done in my life. And one of the things that we teach the students in our school is that you don't go to the Bible and prepare a message. This is one of the differences between our school and other schools. We don't teach you exegesis, or what do they call this? Hermeneutics. And we don't teach you how to do all of these kind of things. What we do is teach you how to have a relationship with God. And then you minister from what God has done in your life. And if it hasn't worked in your life, you shouldn't be teaching it. We don't teach people how to come up with a sermon. What we do is teach you is prepare the messenger, and then the message will come. And to me, this makes it so simple. See, I don't ever go to the Bible trying to find something to teach you. Ever. Never. I think you can get into big trouble doing stuff like that. You know what I do? I just study the Word for me. And then as God touches my life and He does something in my life, then I just share it with you. I share with people what God has shared with me. And so I only share things that are working in my life. And these things that I've been teaching on are things that God used to transform my life. And going back over them and talking about it has really blessed me just to think about how God has moved in my life. You know, ministry, all it is really is one beggar telling another beggar where there's a free meal. How to get it. Amen. And you can't tell people how to go get a free meal if you hadn't gotten it. And we got a lot of preachers that are up there and they hear other people's sermons, but they haven't lived it themselves. You know, I guess there could be an exception to this, but as a general rule, I don't teach on anything that I haven't lived for years. Years. The Lord has shown me things. I'm getting more revelation from the Word today than possibly I've ever gotten in my life. But you won't hear it for years. I don't share anything that I just learned or saw or heard a week ago or a month ago. I live things for years and incubate it before I ever share it with other people. And I think that that's a better way to minister. And if we had more people ministering like that, then you wouldn't have people that are up here saying and spouting things that aren't true and that don't work in real life and stuff. And it would solve a lot of problems. You know, we had a guy one time, this is back when I was conducting Bible studies in six states, and this guy came and stayed with us. He had been recommended by somebody, and I took him to my six Bible studies and let him minister. And he took one of Kenneth Copeland's sermons. I know because I got the message. I had it. I had heard it. And he had memorized it. And he even had the motions down like Kenneth Copeland. And he had memorized this sermon word for word. And the sermon was good. There was nothing wrong with the sermon. But it was just a canned message. It wasn't real to him. And this guy got into our Bible study, which my Bible studies were non-religious. We had dogs that had walked through and, while you're preaching, and he tried to make everybody stand up and sit down at a certain time. And man, we just sat around. We'd have 60 people. We'd just sit around and we'd sing and talk and I'd share with them. But he didn't have a pulpit, and he had to have a pulpit, and he had memorized all of his things. And I remember one time he made this great point and went, ta-da, like this. And a kid opened up the door and hit him in the back of the head and nearly knocked him over. And he was struggling. He was having a hard time throughout this whole thing. And anyway, that's the way that so many ministers are. They've heard something and it sounds good, or they go to the Bible and they get something for other people. But what I'm sharing with you are things that are, this has changed my life. And it's exciting to me. My whole life. Next month it'll be 42 years since I had that experience I was talking about, and God has changed my life, and this is working. It is working, and God is doing things. Tonight I'm going to share a little bit with you about some of the things that we're doing in a building program that we've got that's like $40 million, give you an opportunity to be a part of that if you desire to be. And God is doing things that is just amazing. It absolutely amazes me, and it all started with trying to find out what God's will for my life is. And what I shared last night is Romans 12, verse 1, God's will is for us to be a living sacrifice. And when God showed that to me, I quit asking, do you want me to be a preacher or this or that? I just started saying, God, here I am. I want to be a living sacrifice. And as I committed my life to the Lord, God just supernaturally, I mean supernaturally, started changing my life. I made that decision. I told you that it was December of 1967 when God gave me Romans 12, 1 and 2. On March the 23rd, 1968, when I had this encounter with the Lord, and I mean, it just revolutionized my life. Boom, like that, I was changed. I've never gotten over it. And immediately, within days, God told me to quit school, which I was in my second semester of college. I had a student deferment from the military. As long as I was in college, if you quit, you were automatically 1A. You were going to be sent to Vietnam. I had $350 a month coming from the government for my tuition and stuff. As long as I stayed in school for my father's Social Security, it was a benefit. I had the acceptance of my family. Every person in my family has been a school teacher, and education was it. The church that I went to had all of these highbrow doctors from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary come. Those are the people that filled our pulpit. And education was everything. And they actually told me, you can't say you're a Christian and say that God told you to quit school. And I had a lot of things go wrong. But you know what? I'm saying that within days of me making this decision to be a living sacrifice, God started speaking to me. He led me first to quit school, which did not make any sense at all. And I wavered on it because I was brand new. My mother told me that this was wrong. And so for 2 months, I stayed in school. And it was traumatic because I hated school. I mean, God just changed my heart instantly. But it took me a couple of months to make that decision. But when I made it, did you know it set in motion things? I got drafted. I got sent to Vietnam. And some people would think, well, boy, look what it cost you. You know, in hindsight, looking back, that is one of the greatest things that ever happened in my life. I didn't realize it at the time, but that was so significant because I was a Baptist to the core. If you're raised in Texas and you aren't a Baptist, somebody messed with you. You're born Baptist in Texas. And when I went into the Army, I was a Baptist to the core. And when I came out, I wasn't. I didn't intend to do it. I just got to reading the Bible 15 hours a day, and I found out that I got to believe in the Bible, and I quit being Baptist. I'm not against the Baptists. Praise God for what they did and got me started, but you know what? They don't encourage baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles, and a lot of other things, and I just changed. And I didn't know that I was changing. I just got in the Word of God, and in hindsight, it's one of the greatest things that ever happened, and that decision to quit school precipitated all of this, and that's how God does things. You make a living sacrifice, and then He just starts telling you step by step. And as you obey Him, it just starts things in motion that I couldn't have helped it. I didn't make it happen. God just started changing things. And it was imperative. But here's what I want to share this morning, is that Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't just for somebody special, for people in ministry. Every born-again person is supposed to be a living sacrifice. And then in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a two-step process here. Last night I talked about being a living sacrifice, and I'm not minimizing that at all. That's absolutely essential. But unless you add to that living sacrifice being renewed through your mind, you are going to miss God's will. And let me say this, that being a living sacrifice, if that's all you do and you make a commitment, God, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere, whatever your will is, if that's all you make, as good as that is, Satan will destroy you with that commitment. You need to also get the truth. You need to have truth. And here is a testimony of that. That, you know, I made this commitment, God, I'll do anything. When God told me to quit school, I knew that it was probably going to be an all-expense-paid trip to Vietnam. And yet I did it. And I was willing to go die if that's what God told me to do. That's good to a degree. But at the time, I had this doctrine that it had been instilled in me in the Baptist church that God is sovereign, that nothing can happen but what God wills. And so whatever happens, it must be God's will. I didn't understand that we have an enemy out there that's trying to destroy you and do things. And so anyway, right after I got back from Vietnam, I had been renewing my mind. I'd grown a lot, but I hadn't learned this one yet. And I still believe that God just, you know, if it was supernatural, then it had to be God. I didn't have the truth to be able to judge things by. And so when I got back from Vietnam, Jamie and I were engaged to be married, and we were heading towards marriage, and I had had a couple of dreams. And in these dreams, they were, I won't go into all the details, but they were strange dreams. One of them, I had a guy that was sitting on top of me and jamming his fingers like this into my face and hitting me in my mouth. And I woke up and I threw him off and I woke up and I thought, well, it's only a dream. And I went into the bathroom and I was bleeding. And I had been attacked by a demonic thing. I had two of those dreams like that. And I had some demonic things happen to me. And I just shook it off and I said, I don't believe this is God. And I rejected him. I walked into this Dairy Queen and a woman walked up that I'd never seen before. And she quoted from the book of Job and says, God speaks once, yea, twice, in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men. You thought those two dreams were of the devil, but they're God. God is showing you what's going to happen to you. Man, all the hair on the back of my neck stood up like this.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Find God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Orlando Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1066C for CD or R3210D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU9C titled Becoming a Living Sacrifice when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to come to one of our Gospel Truth seminars. You know, there's people that listen to me on the radio or television every day, and they think, well, I already know what you're going to say. What's the point in going to one of these meetings? But for one thing, you just get the Word at a different level when it's not broken into little 15-minute segments. It makes a huge difference in the way that the Word impacts you. Plus, we have anywhere from 30 to 40 or 50 of our Bible college students, prayer ministers there, that minister to people. You get prayer and personal ministry, and it is just a dynamic atmosphere. Charlie and Jill LeBlanc do the praise and worship, and you'd be blessed. So make plans to join me at one of our Gospel Truth seminars. So